I like to list on my website the religious and spiritual influences, and I don't see them as different because, I mean, if someone goes to a Unity church or even a Quaker meeting, they're not going to be encountering dogma and the kind of things that often people associate with church. They're just going to experience a spiritual community, people supporting and inspiring each other and putting it together. So I'm clear for you that your Jewish upbringing was an important influence on your life, for better and worse, and 12-step spirituality is important to you. Mm-hmm. Unity, you've at least connected with. I don't know, you've influenced them, they've influenced you. You found people who like to hear your voice. Are there other influences that I should include on your list?
Well, there's, of course, I mean, not just Unity, but CSL, Church of Religious Science, and, you know, Unitarian, all of the New Thought churches. Again, I mentioned earlier, but Eckhart Tolle has been huge in my life because I call him almost like a spiritual philosopher. And his work, I think, is amazing. I think he's simplified and really put a nail in the argument of what human conflict, what interpersonal conflict is all about. And he's narrowed it down to basically the ego. We all have an ego. And it's there for, you know, natural caveman defensive purposes. Separation is natural. There's me in my cave, and then there's all this other stuff out there that's threatening it. But since we're no longer in that place for the most part, the ego has gotten to the point where it does its job too well, and it operates on comparison and on separation. The work is for me to just understand when I'm in my ego, when I'm trying to be right just to make somebody else wrong, when it's that important for me to be right. At some point, if I know that 2 plus 2 is 4, I don't have to get into an argument with somebody who believes that 2 plus 2 is 5. And that certainly helps me in politics, where, you know, you can state, get your statement and say what it is. But I'm at the point where I try very hard to find the commonalities, you know, and stay away from the differences, focus on them, because I think when we focus on the commonalities, eventually the differences come into play and the differences become minimized. So I love Eckhart Tolle's work. He's a guy who really walks the walk. I mean, he lost his ego. He says to himself he's 85% egoless, and he's the real deal. And I don't look at him as a guru or, you know, somebody, you know, authoritarian that I need to follow. I just love his work, and I try and practice his work as much as possible.
How do you feel about being raised within the Jewish fold?
Well, I think there are some beautiful traditions. The Jewish people have done some great things. Like with any sect, so to speak, you know, we've had the good, the bad, the ugly. You have the stereotypes. I think there's some wonderful things in the Jewish religion, a lot of which are in, you know, the Talmud and the Kabbalah. But then there's also a lot of the separation. I mean, I was in Israel doing some shows over there, and I had 3 different tours of Old Jerusalem. And I couldn't believe that, you know, here's the super religious people, the guys who are dressed up in what I call their outfits, the black robes and the hat. And the Orthodox have a particular kind of hat, and then the super-Orthodox have kind of a fancier hat, and they look down on the Orthodox. Then you have the ultra-Orthodox, who have a whole different kind of hat, and they look down on super. And I'm going, my God, this is so completely absurd. And, of course, all the Orthodox look down on the ones who just wear the yarmulke, the beanie, and those people kind of look down on the ones who are completely secular, but, you know, Jewish by birth. And I look at the whole thing, and it's not just Jewish, Christian, Muslim. I think religion has, for the most part, has gotten in the way of peace and love. It's created a certain separatism. It wasn't intended to do that necessarily, but for the most part, it's about control. And I think the fundamentalist Jewish guy, the fundamentalist Christian guy, and the fundamentalist Muslim guy are the same guy with a different outfit. You know, and I say guy because it's totally male-dominated. You know, the women have been subjugated completely in all 3 of those Orthodox religions. So I do my best to take from whatever the practices that I've been able to encounter in my life, I try and take the best of and leave the rest because I don't need it, and I don't want to be in a separatist kind of situation. So, you know, when I'm among Jews who are just talking Jewish this and Jewish that and Jewish that, at some point it bothers the heck out of me. Because before you know it, it's like, okay, we're the good guys and you're not, you know. And I've seen it with Christians, and I've seen it with Muslims, and I've seen it with atheists. You know, I've seen it with Americans, I've seen it with French. And again, it's really what Eckhart Tolle is talking about. That's the ego that separates us. If I put you down, it makes me better, and it just feeds my ego. And to me, therein lies the inherent problem, and it's what we have to deal with. And it translates all the way down to the environment, to politics, to economy, to you name it. It all comes from that ego need to separate. And if we can just begin to understand that and each work personally and look in the mirror and say, okay, is that the authentic me or is that my ego speaking? That's up to me to discern.
You know, I've been practicing as a Quaker since I was 18 and I'm 62 now, so you can do the math. And the meeting for worship, I guess I would say, is maybe less offensive than most religious services because it's our silence. And We are turning in. We're doing exactly the things that you're talking about. But it really wasn't until about a year and a half ago at a Quaker planning gathering, I had this very clear insight that what I was doing in worship was trying to get down to that place without my ego.
Mm-hmm. And that's what prayer and meditation essentially are, I think, are about initially. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
And ego, I mean, we have the negative connotation of it, which is the thing about look at me, 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 or, you know, egotism, that kind of thing. But there's the other part of ego, which normally our society looks on very fondly. And it's not just me against you, but it is, well, here's what I am. I am this person. I am a white male North American. I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm a Midwesterner. I'm a computer programmer. I'm a radio producer. There's that part of my ego, too, which isn't bad, except that it means that I'm not connecting. I'm not seeing the all in one. Because if I hold too closely to my specifics, my demographic or whatever, I end up not being able to find community with other folks. So that's
exactly.
I had that revelation just hit me while sitting in actually Quaker worship. It just came flowing out of me. I actually picked up a pen, which you normally don't do during meeting for worship, started writing the words that came from me. So anyway. So.
No, and that's beautiful. And, you know, we're saying the same thing because it's when you identify with being a musician, a male, an American from Wisconsin, a Democrat, a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, when that becomes your identity, I mean, for me, what are you first? I'm a human being. Some people would say first, what are you? Well, number one, I'm a Christian first. Okay. And I'm an American first. And it never gets to human being. It's like, well, okay, there's a real difference. I'm not an ant. I'm not an elephant. I'm not a dog. I'm a human being. But apart from that, once we start identifying, that's where we get into, and that's where we become separate. You know, who am I and my story? And that takes us out of the moment. And the moment is really where it's all happening.
Absolutely.